SBC Media.
Welcome to iGaming Daily, analysing the news from the betting and gaming industry all over the globe, supported by the Canadian Gaming Summit, bringing you Canada's premier annual conference and exhibition for gaming and sports betting senior executives from across Canada and beyond.
SBC Summit Barcelona is where you can experience the entire global industry coverage under one roof. Join 10,000 industry professionals for 3 days of game-changing conversation and education. Get your tickets now at sbcevents.com.
At the end of 2022, there were three countries from Latin America that had everyone on the edge of their seats. These were Brazil, Chile, and Peru. We all know that the first one is taking its time to regulate the sports betting industry, and in recent iGaming Daily episodes, we discussed some of the provisional measure details and other developments. But today, we'll be dedicating this space to the other two, Chile and Peru. Both have approved different projects in the last few months, and some are completely different from each other, for good and bad reasons. In Chile's case, betting was pretty much confirmed as illegal, and deals between bookmakers and football teams are on their way to be banned. So, joining me on today's episode of iGaming Daily, sponsored by SBC Summit Barcelona, to discuss all things Chile and Peru are Lucia Mourinho, head of B2B LATAM at SBC, and Fernando Nut, business journalist at SBC Noticias. How are you both doing today?
Doing great, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. Fernando, are you okay?
Yeah, it's great to be back at the iGaming Daily podcast. I really enjoy it, so great to be talking gaming in Latin America.
Perfect. And we have missed you, Fernando. We've loved Isadora. We've loved having her on, but we have absolutely missed you. So it's good to have you back. And just before we get started, for the listeners out there, if you hear some construction work in the background, it's Fernando and those busy, busy, busy Buenos Aires streets. So he apologizes, but we can hear him loud and clear. So we're happy with that, aren't we, Fernando? We're good.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely it's not only the constructions in Buenos Aires, but also it's the gaming industry building itself into one of the biggest in the world. So you will definitely see it in a different way when you hear it, when you hear those hammers and those chainsaws and everything.
I am speechless on how to respond to that. I'm not going to lie.
That was quick.
Oh, you know how to.
It was good. It was good. Well done. Lou, you're going to have to top that, to be honest. So we'll dive straight into it. We'll dive straight into Chile. With the new project from Chile, what's different from the previous news that were reported at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, I don't know how I can follow that up, to be honest. But
you can't.
Yeah, I can't. So let me try my best. But I think that the biggest difference I would say is that this project is actually in favor of the industry, whereas the two previous ones, which by the way are still on track to be discussed by the Senate, are against the industry. So this one is basically what was prepared after the Chilean president asked to legalize/regulate the iGaming market, and an economy commission of the Chamber of Deputies voted in favor of the project, which now has less than a week to receive comments and move forward to full vote. So currently, the gambling regulator, the Superintendencia de Casinos de Juego, estimates that there's operations worth between $130 and $170 million annually. But once that market is operational, they believe that the number could be 5 times bigger. And out of those bets, the government could actually collect more than $50 million in taxes, which would then be directed to public entities. At least that's what they're expecting. And I would say that more importantly, this also introduces rules to protect players who can currently pretty much access these type of services but are completely unprotected. And so is their data.
Mm-hmm. So hypothetically speaking, this gets approved by the Chamber of Deputies and eventually by the Senate. What would the licenses look like?
So surprisingly, there's actually plenty of information about the licenses because all of this has been included in a document that was signed by the president just a few months after he started his presidency, where he was asking to get this industry regulated, and he highlighted all the benefits that could come from sports betting and iGaming. And although, like I said, it's receiving comments and could be changed in the future because this is just the first step. For example, based on this document, it means that the licenses would be renewable and for 5 years, and the process would not be competitive, meaning that companies will not compete between each other for a license. They would get a license if the regulator considers that they qualify for it. So, different from other countries, I think it could be like, if you qualify for something, then you would have a license according to what you qualify for. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's pretty different from what we've seen in other countries, like, I don't know, let's say Argentina, like the province of Buenos Aires, the city of Buenos Aires. I don't know, Colombia as well. Colombia is one of the countries that Chile is probably looking at, because, again, the Colombian industry is the most advanced one in the region. So, yeah, it could change in the next few months, but 5 years renewable licenses is what we're looking at in Chile.
Mm-hmm. And Lou, you mentioned details about the new projects, but Fernando, can you just share what the other two projects include?
So yeah, there's a project by a bill, a proposed bill by one of the Chilean deputies that wants to ban sports betting sponsorships in sports teams, sports athletes, any deals with any type of competition even in Chile would be banned. That will definitely be a bit crippling for sports betting operators, for international companies trying to promote themselves in Chile. But it's slowly making some progress in Congress, so we may see this happening in the near future. This is a bill that was first introduced back in 2022 by Deputy Marco Sulantay, who criticized the increasing amount of sports of betting sponsors in Chilean football. But this is something that doesn't only include football teams, which a lot have an industry partner right now, but also even the Chilean FA, the Chilean Football Association, has its own deal with a sports betting partner, and the first division in pro football in the country is named after an international sports betting operator. So we are seeing a lot of activity with sports betting sponsorships in Chile, which has caused this bill to come up, because it's not entirely regulated in Chile. There's no regulatory framework for sports betting in the country, but there's also no prohibition either. So it's kind of in this gray area, which is why they want to stop the spread of, or the increasing amount of sports betting sponsorships in the country. Even though this was first introduced in 2022, I think it's going to be a year in these days. Like, it's been almost a year by now. And in April, the Chamber of Deputies finally approved the bill, and it's going to be sent to the Senate for further discussion. But there's still no public timeline for that just yet. So we're going to have to wait and see what the Senate does. The other restriction is not specific. It's not strictly a proposed legislation, but rather a resolution by the Internal Tax Service, which approved a resolution again, and that excludes all companies without local address and those that conduct illegal activities from the simplified tax regime in the country. Again, this one is a bit more tricky because sports betting, like I said, does not have a proper regulatory framework, but it's not prohibited either. So I think, and this is my opinion again, that they are still in a very much gray area that allows them to continue operating without this resolution having that great of an impact in their business, especially because there's no authority in Chile that is willing to at least for now, right? To take a step forward and actually enforce any sort of penalties, as they all claim, oh, it's not my jurisdiction. Like the regulator says, no, it's not my jurisdiction. The tax authority should do something. And the tax authority says, no, here's all I can do, but I can't enforce any penalties. So we're going to have to wait and see what happens first. If some governing body decides to take a step forward and finally enforce all these warnings and penalties that they claim they will enforce, or if there's a bill that finally turns into law and sets a proper regulatory framework for the gaming industry in Chile.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And for the listeners out there who are also going to wait and see about those updates, keep an eye on an SBC, not a CS, where Lou and Fernando will keep you up to date on all the breaking news. But just going back to the project that paves the way for regulated sports betting and iGaming, if approved, would it allow sponsorship deals between teams and sportsbooks?
I think it's definitely a yes, and that we will see sponsorship deals, which, again, there's already a lot of them, but there's this bill that wants to ban all these types of partnerships. But the thing about this sponsorship ban bill, this proposal to ban sponsorship deals, is that when Deputy Sulantay first filed this draft back last year, he explained that sports betting is not yet completely legal, like we said here, in Chile. So that's why he pushed this sponsorship ban, in order to either enforce it as soon as possible or just drop it in case proper regulation gets passed. Like, if there's another piece of regulation that sets a proper framework for the industry and says, okay, so these are the companies that have licenses or these are the companies that we think are proper, have a proper business to operate in Chile, I think those are the companies that will have the opportunity to finally sign some sponsorship deals in Chile, because we are already seeing that teams and organizations are willing to make this type of deals with the industry. But we just need to wait and see what happens with this sponsorship ban bill, and then with the proper bigger and wider bill that will eventually legalize the activity in the country.
Yeah, I agree, because, like, how do you promote the industry if you don't have football?
Exactly.
I mean, sports teams in general, not just football, but again, football is everything in South America and Latin America. But how do you allow operators to promote their products? It's impossible. How do you approve a regulation without sponsorship deals? Even if they're not, like, mentioned on the bill, you have to talk about it. Even if it's an amendment or a modification, it has to be there. So yeah, I think that if a regulation gets approved, eventually it will change. It will change the other one, like the other project. That's what I mean. Mm-hmm. At some point, it will be legal and it will be regulated.
Okay. And looking over, if we move over now to Peru, this is another country in South America which is also moving forward with its sports betting regulation. What's been happening there?
Well, Peru had already passed new legislation in 2022. It had tidied up the gaming industry's framework, because there's been a proper gaming industry in Peru for a while now. They have a very strong land-based culture, but this bill came to like tidy everything up, and the Congress recently passed an amendment to that previous bill, because apparently they discovered several loopholes for potential tax evasion in the gambling regulations that they passed and signed, and that the then president Pedro Castillo signed. So that's a big whoops in Peru.
That's a big whoops.
A big whoopsie there. But they seem to have fixed it with this amendment bill, or that's what the Congress is saying. And there's some changes, the biggest one of them being that they have eliminated a loophole that would have helped foreign companies avoid paying a headline tax, which was set at 12%. So they really want to get that gaming money and get companies paying taxes and contributing to the state coffers like they do in most countries. So they have set these changes, which also have include an increase in the minimum financial guarantee from approved operators. It was initially set at 200 Peruvian tax units, which is about 265K. The fee has been significantly increased to 600 Peruvian. That's three times the previous amount. So it's around $800,000, or about 3% of their annual gross revenue. It also extends the opportunity for foreign residents and tourists to register and play with Peruvian operators. You couldn't previously do that. Like if you would come to Peru, you couldn't play with Peruvian operators. With this amendment, you will be able to. And the domain allowance for licensed online gambling operators has also been expanded. And instead of one single domain that was allowed, which it was .bet.pe for Peru, licensed operators will now be able to use several other domains like .com, .pe, .pe, .bet, and .bet.pe as well. So that will reduce migration costs for operators that were already established.
That's going to be messy, by the way. Like if I'm a player and I want to check which sites are regulated and I have all these domains, then it's going to give me a headache.
Yeah, that's a good thing about the Argentinian market, which has set the .bet.ar domain.
It's pretty easy.
And that's like, yeah, straightforward. You know that if it's .bet.ar, it's regulated and licensed, and if it's not, it's not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to wrap up this podcast, let's look at the full South American picture. Just how important is Peru in terms of revenue and contributions when compared to other local countries?
Well, there's one thing about Peru, besides the fact that it has multiple domains, and it's that we've seen multiple projections about this market. So back when the bill was first approved in mid-2022, the former President Castillo said that it would generate around 40 million for the state. Now I've seen different numbers like 60 million, 80 million, and other numbers. And for example, going back to Chile, it has a GDP bigger than Peru's and more than 20% in terms of internet penetration compared to Peru. And it's actually the highest in South America. That being said, Peru has 34 million people and Chile has 20 million people. So the projections depends on many, many things. I think that considering how much Peruvians like physical casinos, there's a chance for that projection to be a bit higher if done right. Like if the market as approved now has the same conditions for local international operators and the taxes are low, players will also be attracted to the online offering and the revenues will definitely be higher, I think.
Yeah, like you said, with nearly 34 million people with these people holding great passion for football, it definitely has great potential for the gaming industry. Let's remember that 34 million inhabitants, it's the fourth most populated country in South America alone. So I think that's a big deal, and that makes it really appealing for the international gaming industry.
Fernando, Lou, thank you for joining us today. Just for the listeners out there, we have discussed quite a few topics. I will put all relevant links in the description below, as per usual, for you to check them out. Again, Lou, Fernando, thank you for joining me. And to our listeners out there, thank you and goodbye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of iGaming Daily, brought to you in conjunction with the Canadian Gaming Summit, being held at the Metro Toronto Convention Centre on the 13th to the 15th of June. If you want to find out more about some of the subjects raised today, feel free to explore any of the sites in the SBC News Network or check out the latest edition of the SBC Leaders Magazine. Happy reading.